You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
We are January the 4th, 2021. And Ted Cruz leading other Republican senators discussing which states, if any, they will object to for the January 6th certification of the presidential election results. So far, no conclusions. But it's obviously going to be more than one state. Others have said if you're going to do it, you can't do just one state. It won't be effective. And there are 120-plus Republicans in the House who said we will also not accept a certification from certain states. They want a full investigation. They want an inquiry, a 10-day, an emergency 10-day audit by an electoral commission. It's not new. It's been done before. It is within the Constitution. It's not treasonous, despite what you will hear from the left. And I will remind you, a recent Reuters poll showing 13% of Democrats think the election was fraudulent. 31% independents. Well, of course, not all the Republican senators are joining with Cruz, and one of them is disappointing to me and certainly for President Trump as well. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, he says, I'm not going to do it. He said, I think it sets a bad precedent. I think that we look like we're challenging the election. It's going to be like that going forward. It just emboldens Democrats who want to erode our Constitution. Well, I like Senator Cotton. I can understand what he's saying, but this is not eroding the Constitution. This is using it within the law we have. And, of course, President Trump also challenging Senator Cotton for doing so. Now, there is one other senator who is also speaking out against this. And yet today he's getting the support from President Trump. Senator David Perdue, Republican of Georgia. He also is objecting to fighting against the Electoral College certification for Wednesday. Let me reread this. This story, the way I looked at the headline, this doesn't look right. He said, I have repeatedly called for a special session. Technical problem is I won't be certified. What he's saying, the headline was misleading. Let me correct this for you, because the way it appears now, he is reaffirming his support for objecting to the Electoral College certification. So he is on board based on that. Assuming that story's not twisted. I'm sorry, folks. Sometimes I'm seeing this just before I get back on the air with you. But I do know this. Georgia Democrat activist Stacey Abrams said her party feels a great deal of urgency about this election. We do know this. Some 3 million have already voted, 3 million voting in that Georgia election. They only had 4.9 million the entire election. Well, if this is Monday, it must be time, unfortunately, for a homicide report out of Chicago. Gunshot. Over a violent New Year's weekend in Lori Lightfoot's Chicago, 27 shot, 4 fatally. But let us don't stop there. The murder rate in Democrat Mayor Lyda Crewson's St. Louis city soaring to its highest rate in 50 years. New York Governor Cuomo announcing some of these hospitals that don't distribute coronavirus vaccines fast enough will be fined. They will be fined. He's blaming them for slowing it down. Of course, he's going to blame someone else. He is never going to look inward and blame himself, right? That's understandable. Just ain't going to happen. You know, there's a lot of speculation going around lately around Chinese billionaire Jack Ma, the Alibaba founder, not appearing, hadn't been seen in public for more than 2 months. Some are saying, well, remember, he was giving a controversial speech in Shanghai, criticizing China's regulation system for stifling innovation. There could be a tie. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi did win re-election yesterday with only 216 votes. Less than a majority of 218, but she just squeaked by to once again handle the gavel and be Speaker of the House. So all of you who had queued up that song, you know the song I'm talking about. All of you who queued that song up, you're going to have to wait. You know what song I'm talking about. Don't sit there and act like you don't know it. You know the beginning words. Ding dong, the witch is dead. You can't play it. Stand by for more.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The President of the United States on audio tape pushing a Republican official in Georgia to discard the will of voters. The audio coming from the Washington Post, and it gives an up close look at the bully in the Oval Office and his win at all cost tactics. In the hour long call between President Trump and Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, the president alternates between threats and compliments. The undercurrent to the president's every word, find a way to ignore the math and make me the winner. Listen.
We have won this election in Georgia based on all of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry.
Those are the words of President Trump in a phone call he was having with the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, and his general counsel for the Georgia State. That would be Ryan Germany. Now, you heard how CNN treated it. No surprise there. I mean, I can look at some of the way they wrote it for their pages as well. And it's very clear they're going to make it obviously that Trump's deranged, out of control, and that he was trying to pressure Raffensperger into changing the election. The president just say in this 1 hour telephone call, I just want to find 11,780 votes. Should he have made the call? If you're asking me, no. Was he making threats of any type, bullying, as CNN would have you say? I don't see it that way. Oh, but listen, he's a president, Larry. He's president of the United States, Larry. If he's making that call, he's obviously being a bully. That's as if no other president has made a call to someone that just didn't get released to the public like this. Which is the other question. How did the call get released? Who decided to release it? But if you're also looking at a more recent example of something a Democrat did that was surely showing to be a bully and definitely had a threat with it, that would be, let me see, what's his name? What's that guy that the, what's his name? I think he's supposed to go in the White House with Kamala Harris. Joe Biden, yeah. When he was talking to Ukraine officials and telling them about this investigation into Burisma, which his son, Hunter Biden, was a member of the board, and telling them, and then later joking about it in a public an event with some leaders, I told them, if you want this $1 billion from the U.S., you get rid of the prosecutor on that investigation and you stop it. And by damn, they did it. Now, to me, that was a more direct threat, but you're never going to hear that from CNN and NNN. We all know that. But again, Trump did make the phone call and did make some statements. I'm going to let you hear more of it. I've always told you I have an opinion, and you're going to know my opinion if you haven't figured it out yet, but you're going to know it. But I don't always fall down hard with many Trump supporters on some of the issues. I go the other way sometimes, and sometimes I say, just look at the facts. Now, here are the facts of what he said, unless somebody edited the tape. I don't think there's any reason to believe that. Let's listen to about a minute of it.
The people of the country are angry, and there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Now, do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's illegal.
No, Ryan, Germany. No, Dominion is not. Moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having
Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
You sure, Ryan?
I'm sure.
You should want to have an accurate election. And you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, you don't. You don't have. Not even close.
Now, again, that's President Trump. The voice you heard saying that we have not had anything wrong, that'd be a general counsel, Ryan Germany, and then also the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, and saying, well, Mr. President, your numbers are just wrong. And then he starts asking, well, have you heard about Dominion moving the machines out? I've heard rumors, he said, and they say no. So the president doesn't even indicate that he has any facts. You have to look at it that way, folks. You can't. I don't want you to just simply buy blindly into anything or anyone. If he had any facts, he should have been presenting them, but he didn't. Although there are forensic exams that have been made, one group in particular that said we're nonpartisan, we're just looking at this, and we looked at forensically, we saw some numbers get switched that are clearly they're there. Well, that's evidence. That's evidence. And it's more than 17,000 vote difference that Trump is trying to come up with. But if you heard that, if you heard in the words that the call from the White House and him saying that you should want this, you should want it right, and you're Republican, you should want, if you hear in that that's a threat and a cajoling, an urging, or a direct order to change the election, that's interpretation. I don't go that far with it, but I understand why the left and many would jump into it, and yes, they are. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that reference that phone call. I absolutely think it's an impeachable offense, and if it's up to me, there'll be articles on the floor quite quickly. He's attacking our very election. She's not the only one to do that, of course. We got others coming forward as well. And they're getting all the help they can from the mainstream media as to how they're going to handle it and going forward with it. There is a Reuters survey. 39% of the Americans surveyed, 39% of the group surveyed, think the election was not fair. In other words, it was stolen. 39%. Now, you break that down in political parties, you find exactly what you'd expect. 67% of Republicans, which, keep in mind, the other side of that is 23% don't think it was, or 33% do not think it was illegal or wrong, or maybe some in that just don't know, which is probably more likely. But 67% of Republicans surveyed said it was not fair, it was stolen. And in Democrats, 17% of the Democrats agree that, yeah, it was not fair. Now, I guess that means the other 83% did agree that it was fair, or they just, again, some don't know. I don't know. We'll have to leave that up there. Independents, 31% say it wasn't fair. But, of course, with this phone call, you've got them coming from all corners as they're pulled in and getting their time on CNN and NN to be heard, and they are quickly condemning it. Let me give you another example. And it's easy to condemn. I will say again, I do not think he should have done it. I do not think Trump should have made the phone call. Should not have gotten into it like that. That is my opinion. He did it anyway. He didn't ask me. If he had asked me, I'd say, don't do it. But he did. But again, let's go to CNN and one of their analysts, John Harwood.
We now have the president on tape pushing the Secretary of State to find him votes. I wonder, is there anyone in that building behind you who acknowledges that this is wrong?
Not publicly. But look, this is the president of the United States. Let's just be clear about this. Openly seeking to commit or to induce a state official to commit election fraud. The very thing he's been screaming about. And the notable thing that you guys highlighted in the intro is the subtext of menace that he is raising against Brad Raffensperger, the Georgia Secretary of State, during this call, appealing, setting aside everything else, for him to change votes on the grounds that people are angry about the outcome. Take a listen.
And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. You know, that you've recalculated.
Well, again, there's John Harwood on CNN saying that the president was building his case simply because people are angry. You got to change it. If you want to interpret that way, fine. But what he is saying is that people don't have any trust in the system, the way it's been handled. Should we change an election just because your candidate doesn't win? Of course not. Of course not. Should we change it just because Trump didn't win? No. We want a fair election. But the other side is not going to play fair. We've already seen that. But there are those, again, within the Republican Party as well, that are not happy that the president did that. I want you to hear all sides. That would include the Georgia Attorney General, Jeff Duncan, who is a Republican, when asked what he thought about this.
Well, I was disappointed. I was disappointed at the tone, at the intent, at the questioning. I've continued to encourage everybody, including the president, to stay focused on tomorrow. That phone call did absolutely nothing to help drive turnout for Republicans here in Georgia for Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. I was disappointed, and quite honestly, I can't imagine anybody on his staff encouraging that call or not giving him the advice to hang up and move on to the next subject.
Should he need advice from his staff to know that you can't call a Secretary of State and try to bully or manipulate or pressure him into changing the election?
Well, look, that's a tough question to answer. I worry about my team and my staff and how I act, and certainly it's something that I wouldn't have made the phone call under any circumstance. I wouldn't have made it. It was inappropriate, and quite honestly, it was a misuse of energy towards trying to get David and Kelly reelected tomorrow.
Again, that's the Georgia Attorney General Jeff Duncan. But, of course, the CNN reporters say, but he bullied it. He bullied, he threatened. No, he did not do any of that. And, of course, CNN has made it very clear and easily pulled together a group of, quote, as they write, experienced prosecutors, election lawyers, and some public officials piling on, calling for criminal investigations. Did Trump break election fraud when he pressured Georgia officials to find these votes? And they're saying if you look at statutes and federal and Georgia, you engage in some effort to solicit or procure election fraud, you knowingly do it, it's potentially a federal state crime. Oh, now it's a crime. Now it's a crime if you do that. It's not a crime if you come in and you vote twice and you know you did, or you vote on behalf of someone who's dead, or you vote with an absentee ballot that got sent to you by mistake. That's not a crime, but this was. They're all crimes if that's true. But I did not hear Trump threaten or say, change them or else. Did you hear that? No. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I want you to hear from Trump one more time and add some more balance from the other side. I'll help you out. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You should want to have an accurate election. And you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, you don't. You don't have. Not even close. You're off by hundreds of thousands of votes. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense. And you know, you can't let that happen.
So do you hear in there a threat from Trump that you've just committed a criminal offense by letting fraudulent votes be counted? As he's talking to the Georgia Secretary of State, who's also a Republican. Well, again, it's in your perception. If you're an anti-Trumper, that is all you hear. If you're a Trump supporter through and through, you hear nothing like that. If you're kind of in the middle, you say, I can see that you would see it that way. I don't see it that way, but maybe I lean more this way than that way. In other words, you're really trying to be objective. I still go back and say, and I've done this previously on this program, you know this, I'm not an all-out Trump supporter just because it's Trump. I won't do it. Nor will I go out against him because it's Trump. But, of course, he did give a lot of ammunition to the left to step forward, and they're doing it. CNN brings in one of their former federal prosecutors, also a contributor, and saying, yeah, we should do that, Trump should be prosecuted or at least investigated, but then admitting proving the president intended to commit a crime is another matter. And if Trump faced a jury of charge that had to prove what he meant on the call. There's your balance right there. You can't prove really what he meant. I can't either. You can say, I know what his mindset was. He's upset. He's losing the election. And he thinks the American public is upset. And they are those who felt that the election was not handled properly, not only in Georgia but elsewhere. But, of course, CNN's quick to point out, Attorney General Barr said there was no evidence of widespread fraud before he retired before Christmas. Yeah, he did say that, but that doesn't mean it wasn't there. He just said there is no evidence he's seen. And then they point out that 60 lawsuits pressing that claim all going down in flames, but not one of them has actually had all the pieces of evidence presented to a judge to look at the case in full detail. That is why Senator Cruz is saying, We need to have an emergency election commission investigation. That's all. And it's allowable, and it's been done before. Democrats have done it. And it's true, regardless of what your belief is on this election, being that it was carried out properly or stolen, it's going to raise questions about the integrity of the elections going forward. And let me take you back to Jimmy Carter, former president. When he was given the task after no longer being president to oversee elections in third world countries and elections in general, he found that, one, the more mail-in ballots you have, the more likelihood you're going to have fraud. And then the countries where they vote in third countries, they use a thumbprint. They get it marked in ink that's going to be with them for months so they can't vote again. Unless you want to cut the thumb off and say, well, I haven't voted. See, I don't have a thumb, so I didn't vote. Yep. And, of course, the key we have now is tomorrow, the Georgia Senate race. And if there's been fraud up to this point, do you expect it's going to come to a halt tomorrow? No. There is so much at stake in this election coming up. If this country, if the state of Georgia, if the state of Georgia does not keep Loeffler and Perdue in the U.S. Senate, there will be no check and balance. Democrats will control the White House, Congress itself, and the Senate. They've done that before, but this time there's so much radical agendas built in. Our country and our future as a democracy is truly at risk. Senator Cruz will explain what's at stake when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I've got faith and confidence in the men and women of Georgia. I think the people of Georgia believe in common sense values. They believe in low taxes, low regulations, and lots of jobs. And I think the people of Georgia want to see a check and a balance on the extreme left wing. If Chuck Schumer becomes the majority leader of the United States Senate, it will mean that the agenda nationally will be driven by the extreme left in the Democratic Party. It will be driven by Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and AOC. Those are not the values of Georgia.
Those are the words of Senator Ted Cruz as he's in Georgia, Sugar Hill, Georgia, yesterday, again trying to encourage a big voter turnout. It's all part of the Club for Growth Action Save America tour, trying to get the turnout, especially in counties that normally favor Democrats, to turn out Republicans on Election Day, or at least those who are going to support Republican candidates Loeffler and Perdue. And as he said, what's at stake is our entire country. He said, I just don't think that Georgians want to give this country over to Chuck Schumer. Senator Chuck Schumer had said, we win Georgia, then we transform America. You have to keep in mind, too, what's already going on. While they're trying to push forward to get these votes in for tomorrow, three million have already cast votes. 3 million. in the general election back in November. They had 4.9 million votes cast. So you can tell there's been a lot of effort going on in Georgia and on both sides, getting money, effort, bringing in big speakers. Trump is in Georgia today. Pence has been in Georgia. Obama even made a trip into Georgia. Money is coming in from everywhere, and you got Democrat operatives openly saying, get to Georgia, establish residency so you can vote. Well, if they didn't do it by December 7th, they can't do it now. Not, I should say legally, they couldn't do it the other way if they're just going in for that purpose legally either. But December 7th was a cutoff date to get certified for this election. But many did. And I'll remind you again, Andrew Yang, one of the Democrat primary candidates against Joe Biden, who's a California Silicon guy, said, I'm going to move my family. We're going to Georgia. We're going to establish a residency so we can vote. And he did that back in maybe December, early December. No, it had to be in November. It's in November. And I told you over November Thanksgiving, yes, a lot of folks were, you're enjoying your meal with your family. They were rushing into Georgia to put down a deposit, showing they're paying rent, set up some utilities to say, see, here's proof I'm a resident so I can vote. They're coming in from other county, state lines and so forth. And maybe they already have an election voting in the state they left. But they're now coming in to register just for that purpose. Now, the state secretary of state, the very one Trump was calling and saying, hey, you're a Republican, you can't let this happen like this. He has said that we will prosecute anybody we find that has come into the state just to vote, and that's fraudulent. I haven't seen one effort so far to do that, not one. Senator Cruz says this is a turnout election. Too much is at stake. Democrats obviously optimistic about the early voting numbers, as they say, 3 million. The figures show that black voters make up a larger percentage of the early voting electorate than in the November general election. There were blacks across the nation who voted for Trump, but not in the numbers that they need. And it certainly doesn't appear to be that way in Georgia for the candidates running to keep their seats in the U.S. Senate, the Republicans. This is so critical. And yet, with all the debate and concern about the election itself that we just had, the time we spent earlier in this hour and the preceding hour about how valid this election was it stolen? There are those who said, you know, it doesn't do me good now. I mean, why should I bother going to vote if that's what's going to happen anyway? And Ted Cruz was asked by a reporter as he was in Sugar Hill, Georgia yesterday, What about folks who are just going to say, I'm not even going to bother voting. It's not going to make any difference. These guys are going to steal it anyway. Here's what Ted Cruz had to say.
Listen, are there a lot of people in Georgia ticked off about what happened in the presidential race? Yes. And there are a lot of people all over the country who are ticked off about it. And I think the answer, if you're unhappy about that, is not stay home, but show up, bring your friends, bring your family, and end up with a big victory Tuesday night. To be honest, most of the people talking about folks staying home because they were unhappy about the presidential race, most of them politically are rooting for the Democrats to win. And I think there's a little bit of the military world. You'll deal with psyops. You deal a little bit with trying to mess with the heads. I haven't heard one actual conservative in Georgia or anywhere else who suggested it would be a good thing to hand the United States Senate over to Chuck Schumer and the radical left.
No, I don't think there are. Not a true Republican anyway. We cannot turn it over to the radical left. Now, I do want to clarify something that there was some confusion in news and commentary at the top of the hour. And I want to take the hit for this. I'll put it on myself that maybe I just misread it as I read it quickly. I told you that Trump is in Georgia campaigning for the two Republican candidates, one of them being David Perdue. And I also said that Senator Cruz trying to get various senators together to challenge on January 6th to issue a challenge against the Electoral College tabulations until they have a 10-day emergency audit of all the numbers of key states, not just one state, but several states. I was telling you that the very guy he's going to campaign for in Georgia apparently is just fine. Let the numbers go on through. That's wrong. And I'm going to take the hit. It's my quick read of it. I didn't read it effectively, so it's my fault. No one else's. But let me clarify for you. Senator David Perdue, Republican of Georgia, is reaffirming his support that we should object to the Electoral College certification for Wednesday. The way it's written, it looked like he reaffirmed his support for objecting to challenging it. But that was something I read in my head, not what's there. So it was written properly. It's my fault. No, he's saying, look, I looked at the magnitude of irregularities back in December and early December about our November race. I called at that time for the resignation of our Secretary of State. I repeatedly called for a special session of the General Assembly to investigate. None of it happened. So I started calling out for the only thing left for the president is for us to object. And I agree, I will do that. So he will join Senators Cruz, Blackburn of Tennessee, Braun of Indiana, Daines, Montana, Hagerty of Tennessee, Johnson, Wisconsin, Kennedy, Louisiana, Lankford, Oklahoma, Loomis of Wyoming, Marshall, Kansas, and Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. Now, Josh Hawley of Missouri has also indicated he will object, but it's not clear as to how many states he's looking at challenging. And we have the same thing from Senator Rand Paul. But when you have this challenge, you have to have it happen in both houses. You can't just have it happen in one house. So originally, it's the House Republicans were challenging it. And they were putting pressure on Cruz and other senators. We need you to come up. We need you to help. They were originally going to object to three states, ideally six states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Wisconsin. Now, here's the way this thing happens. Under the Constitution, the Electoral Count Act of 1887, the House and Senate will meet joint session January 6. Electoral College votes cast in December, sent by each state to the Congress, would then determine the President of the United States. The Vice President presides over the process. He will open all envelopes containing certifications of ascertainment and vote tallies for each state. He hands them to tellers, the people appointed for the House and Senate, to read the ballots, verify them. They will read them. If there's no objection, they are counted. Now, if there's objection, any lawmaker can object to them. Pence has the power and authority to recognize the objection. And if there is an objection from the House and the Senate at the same time to challenge them, they must be presented in writing. Then they go back into the separate chambers and debate. There's nothing in the Constitution or federal law as to what defines an objection. But it's been done before. It's been done, in fact, by the Democrats. Of course, that doesn't mean it's going to change anything. What we do need to worry about is the future of this nation. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Eternal God, noiselessly We bow before your throne of grace as we leave behind the politically and socially clamorous year of 2020. We gather now in this consequential chamber to inaugurate another chapter in our roller coaster representative government. The members of this august body acknowledge your sacred supremacy and therefore confess that without your favor and forbearance, we enter this new year relying dangerously on our own fallible nature. God, at a moment when many believe that the bright light of democracy is beginning to dim, empower us with an extra dose of commitment to its principles. May we of the 117th Congress refuel the lamp of liberty so brimful that generations unborn will witness its undying flame.
That is a powerful sermon, opening prayer, I should say, given yesterday by Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat of Missouri, who is a minister. He's a United Methodist pastor. And you heard him talk about how we're in such turmoil in this nation that we need to keep it together and we need to maintain that light of liberty for future generations. I let it go on for a long period of time, well, about a minute plus there, because what he was saying, I firmly believe in. But then he does something near the end. I'm not in favor of him. I'll come back to that in a moment. But he made it very clear that, yeah, we need to be aware that we are doing a lot in this nation right now, that people are divisive, they're torn apart. And, of course, there are those who say, blame Trump. There are those who say, blame BLM. Others say, blame anarchists, blame the any other group you want to name, the Klan and so forth, Proud Boys. But it really gets down to individuals, what we do, and then as we gather more and more individuals in protecting the values of this nation, then hopefully that's how we will do it. I was asked over the holiday, someone asked very pointedly, do you fear for the future of our country? I said, honestly, I have in my morning and evening prayers started doing a separate prayer, separate from everything else. Praying for the country, to keep our country, the beacon on the hill, for what we stand for the world itself, much less anything else. And I think we're needed. I think we in this nation have moved away from God in so many ways and been looking at some of the minor prophets, and I'm telling you, they came with gloom and doom, and they also were told by God, don't even bother praying for these people. They're too far gone. I'm going to have them wiped out. I'll send the Babylonians against them. I'll send the Persians against them. I'll send others, and then I won't turn go against them, but they turned their back on me. And here is a perfect example. Democrats under House Speaker Pelosi the other day, as they began the 117th Congress, they moved forward with what they consider the most inclusive wording going forward. They're going to drop the words he or she, the words mother, father from the House. They're not going to use those words. They're just going to drop all gender reference. Words such as mother, father, be replaced with parent, aunt, uncle, something like that. Which takes me back to the closing remarks of Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat, Missouri, mainly the Kansas City area. He is a pastor again. And despite my praise for his opening remarks, here was how he finished the prayer.
May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. Amen and a woman.
Amen and a woman. The term amen is not a gender reference. It's not a gender reference whatsoever. But, of course, for progressives, they think that's important. The word is Latin for so be it. And Franklin Graham is saying this new gender-inclusive language I told you about in the House and just the thing you heard from Cleaver then threatens our most fundamental basis. He said God created them, male and female. It's just a fact as written in Genesis. Progressives want to change everything, and if they have their way, they will destroy this country and everything we stand for and turn their back on God in the process. He said we won't recognize this nation in a very short time if they continue. I agree. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.